O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Amen. The word of God upon which we meditate this Thanksgiving Eve is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 14, verses 14 through 18. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes and ran in among the multitude, crying out and saying, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God, who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all things that are in them, who in bygone generations allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness, in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." And with these sayings, they could scarcely restrain the multitudes from sacrificing to them. These are the words. In the name of Jesus the Christ, in whom the greatest gifts are ours, dear fellow redeemed in his blood. Why did he do that? That's a question that's asked in many different contexts. It's asked by the irate sports fan who questions his team's coaches. Why did he do that? What was he thinking? He chose the wind and not the ball? What did he do that for? It's asked by parents when their children do stupid or unfortunate things. Why did he put the screwdriver in the outlet? Why did he touch the hot burner? Why did he do that? In Lystra during the first century, Paul and Barnabas asked a similar question for an entirely different reason. The people of Lystra came to them with garland and oxen in tow. They intended to sacrifice the animals to them. They intended to treat them as if they were one of their gods. Why did they do that? Well, the verses that lead up to this tell us the rest of the story. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." And he leapt and walked. Now when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in the Laconian language, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." And Barnabas they called Zeus and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Zeus, whose temple was in front of their city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates, intending to sacrifice with the multitudes. So now you know the rest of the story. The people of the city of Lystra in ancient Galatia were about to sacrifice oxen to Paul and Barnabas and worship them as gods because of what had been done. God had just done something through the Apostle Paul that was literally, and I mean literally, supernatural, outside the limits of nature. The people of Lystra knew the man who was lying at their gates. They knew that he had been crippled since birth, and yet here he was, leaping about and walking. And so the people of Lystra did what they thought was right. They assumed incorrectly that Paul and Barnabas were their gods, and they prepared to offer them thanksgiving. They might have completed the task too, except that when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes and ran in among the multitude, crying out, "Wait a second. What did they do that for? Why did they tear their clothes?" Well, tearing your clothing was a sign of mental anguish and sorrow. While some might have taken the opportunity to bask in the glory and accept the sacrifice, Paul and Barnabas wanted no such thing. They were not the gods in human form. They were only human beings, messengers, instruments of the living God. They were ordinary human beings sent by God with an extraordinary message to tell. And so they proceeded to tell why they didn't want or deserve a sacrifice. Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God, who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all things that are in them. Paul and Barnabas pointed out that the people of Lystra were making a terrible mistake. They had been misinformed about the nature of God and of what he expects of human beings. And while they thought they were doing the right thing, they had it all wrong. First of all, the gods that they worshipped were not real, and the things that their false gods prescribed were literally useless things. After all, Paul and Barnabas were flesh and blood. They did not desire to be worshipped, but only listened to. Second, the people of Lystra thought that there were many gods. The truth was that there was only one. The things that they worshipped, named Zeus and Hermes, were imaginary beings created by their human beings. The Greeks and the Romans ultimately knew that they were not alone in the universe, because when they looked at the creation, they could see God's wisdom and power. But instead of seeking God, they made up their own. Finally, the people of Lystra learned that their gods were nothings, useless, impotent. Zeus and Hermes were idols that could neither hear nor heal. And yet, the man who had been lying outside their gates was healed. The people of Lystra had been given life by the living God who gives life to all things. But instead of giving him thanks, they glorified statues, images, false beings. What was worse, they were about to credit two human beings and praise them for what God had himself done. Thank God that he put Paul and Barnabas into that situation, that they might reveal to them the truth. For all their religious ideas, for their religious rites, for their temple out front of their city, the true God was unknown to them by name. Worse yet, the way to obtain God's favor was also unknown to them. They thought that sacrificing a couple of oxen would do it. But he's not appeased by the sacrifice of animals, but has been forever satisfied by the sacrifice of his own son. But they didn't know any of that. You do. God had allowed them to continue in their own ways until that day, when he brought Paul and Barnabas to them to explain. In bygone generations, God allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Again, we might ask, why did he do that? Why did God allow the nations of the earth to go their own ways and to worship things that were not gods without bringing swift judgment upon them? Why did God allow the people of Lystra to offer sacrifices to figments of their imagination without striking from heaven with lightning bolts? Good question. God tells us here that he allowed it to occur without judgment simply because he's merciful and long-suffering. He did it because he was carrying out his plan to make things right, and then would make it known. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness in that he did good, gave rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. While the people of Lystra didn't know who the true God was, the true God knew who they were, and he provided for their needs. He did not leave himself without witness. Year after year, God proved himself to be kind and gracious, providing rain and fruitful seasons. Moreover, God also gave his Old Testament word, which pointed the people to the coming Savior, the one that they did not know by name. God sent out his people, prophets, men like Paul and Barnabas, to speak about the great Savior King that had come. And then when everything was ready, well, the Old Testament people spoke of the coming Savior, but when everything was ready, when everything was right, as the Apostle Paul would later write to these very same Galatians, when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And once the living God revealed his Savior and his plan of salvation, he would no longer tolerate the worship and praise of false gods. The Spirit of God directed the same Apostle Paul to say later to the people of Athens, "We ought not to think that the divine nature is like silver or gold or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead." And yet, after all of this, the people of Lystra were still ready to do in the two oxen and have a sacrifice. And with all these sayings, they could scarcely restrain the multitudes from sacrificing to them. Why does God still provide for the bodily needs of all things? Why does he continue to send the rain on those who worship figments of their imagination? Why does he send the rain on the just and the unjust? Wouldn't it be a more effective witness if good things only came to those who believed? You might think so. It's Thanksgiving Eve, and it seems at times the ungodly in our world have more to be thankful for than we. We live in the richest country in the world, but it's also perhaps one of the most ungodly of nations. Our society at large supports the sanctioned murder of unborn babies for various reasons. Many openly oppose God's will. They reject his word as outdated. They live in open sin and approve of evil. So why doesn't God just strike them all down, one and all? Why does God still graciously provide every need when he is rarely thanked and openly opposed? Hollywood types, sport figures, business CEOs don't just have what they need. They have that and more than they could ever use. Why does God continue to give? The same reason as in Lystra. Because he is long-suffering and merciful. He gives because he is gracious. He provides because he has a plan to save them all. Behind it all is a spiritual purpose. Paul wrote it and revealed it to Timothy in his first letter. He wrote, "This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." God's ultimate purpose and desire for every human being is that they come to know his Son and, trusting in him, have eternal life. And with this in mind, he grants every human being a time of grace. And then he provides physical life, food, clothing, and the necessities of life, and sometimes even much more than that. He provides and preserves all because he wants to give more. So much more than the dollar can buy. The millions that he gives to the wicked are nothing when compared to what he's given you and would still give to them on top of it. Jesus said, "This is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." When we see the riches of some, instead of being covetous, instead of looking with wanting eyes, remember the spiritual purpose behind all of it. They have life. And yes, they have many good things. And God gives them those things in view of giving them more. And that's where you come in, to tell others what Christ did for them. Thank God for the gifts that he gives you and praise him for the work that he gives you and the opportunities that he gives to you to speak of his Son. Draw your strength from the cross of Christ and wonder not, how could he do that? But rejoice to know that he did it for you. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. To us, to all. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. The offerings will be gathered.